The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
From within the murder RV, close to San Diego Comic-Con, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Wand and Gabe.
Pitter-patter, pitter-patter.
Are we recording? Is this thing on? Is yours on?
I assume it is.
Okay. Woo!
It's hard to test it when I'm being completely silent. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 123 of Thinking Outside the Long
Box.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Today we're going to be doing basically our episode covering San Diego Comic-Con. Here we are on Sunday. I don't think we're going back to the convention today because the one thing we had scheduled turned into a non-event. So, but we are going to talk about the stuff that we are covering at San Diego Comic-Con.
I'm sorry we didn't see you, Andy Mangles.
Yes.
I know Gabe really, really, really wanted to see that sweet ass.
It's true, but it's been a long week. You know, it's that discovery of people that come here as like guests. You know, like people that come here to do like stuff like signings and stuff,
right?
Lead a very different life at Comic-Con than we do, where we're just like, okay, what's the next thing? I don't think he's from here, but he comes as like a guest, and he's
no. Where's he? Is he from? He's not from Colorado. I'd assume
Colorado either.
I was gonna say we'll just see him later.
Yeah, we'll definitely hang out.
Yeah,
so.
When he comes to fucking Denver, we need to go out and have dinner with
him. I know that's the reality. It needs to happen next year in Denver because this has been. This is always crazy.
Always.
Like, wake up at 6, out the door by 9, doing, like, recording and stuff, get home at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, our purview this year has expanded, and so it's no longer just, oh, hey, Gabe, you got one or two things, you know, at the Hilton or the Marriott, and then everything else is in the convention center. We're walking, like, half a mile there, half a mile here to go outside of the convention center and do shit.
Yeah.
And so I think continually, maybe, like, again, we're gonna try and get tickets, obviously, again, next year. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I think we're continually getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, kind of the more and more we do shit like this.
Right. And hopefully we can bring, you know, maybe a person or two extra next time, and then we actually have spare time to do things.
Responsible extra person or two.
Let's not start with it. Also, you have something in your teeth.
That's all right.
They can't see it, but I can see it, and it's driving me crazy. So let's talk about some of the stuff that you saw that you really enjoyed.
Well,
you opened
my eyes, so I was looking at this Marvel shit, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Well, here in a couple episodes.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
We'll do like a whole. So let's talk about really quick. We're going to do this episode. We have a pop culture classic coming up later this week. That'll be Revenge of the Nerds. We'll be sure to post about it so that you can shoot us your comments about Revenge of the Nerds beforehand. And then the episode after Revenge of the Nerds, we're going to talk very specifically just about Marvel Phase 4.
Cool, I'm all right with
and
that.
A little bit about Marvel Phase 5, apparently. So, but we'll do a whole half an hour on that. But suffice it to say that in the Hall H Marvel panel, huge announcements across the board for the Marvel Universe. And we are aware of that. But we want to talk about it way more in depth here in a couple episodes.
We're day drinking.
We are day drinking, which is to say late morning drinking. Like, it's not even day drinking.
I looked back on it yesterday while we were walking, because yesterday we were doing, at the end of the day, I think, we were like, fuck, how much time did we actually spend on the showroom floor? And I don't think it was really all that much this year.
No, it wasn't.
Yesterday especially was maybe, just wandering, it was maybe like 15 minutes on the actual showroom floor doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I didn't really see much of the showroom floor. We specifically went to things as we were walking. And so my fun things, or what I saw that was a highlight of the day, came from what we were doing.
Right.
And I think the activation or the event that really, really was fun was the boys for me. That was probably the most fun thing as far as, you know, outdoor activations that we did. I thought that was really, really cool. It sounds like it might have been the most, like, well-played one. I was talking to the ladies at the Travel Channel yesterday when I was getting signed up for the Ripley's Believe. That was really good too. The Ripley's Believe It or Not panel was fun, but they're like, of course Amazon did it. They've got all the money.
You're right.
And so it was fun. You walk in and it was, you know, it's the, you have to assume that the people who go in generally know what the show is about, the boys. And so there's no kind of explanation as to what's going on. It's just, you're immersed in the world, you know, and it was fun.
Well, what's cool though is like the way the acting pans out, they actually tell you the plot of what's going on,
right,
like as it goes, but it's done in such a way that you don't need to know anything. So like, you walk into like this electronic store that literally has a car rammed into the front of it that's like pouring smoke, and some dude is literally just yelling at you like, get your ass in here, get your ass in here, and like just go into town on you. And obviously we don't need to worry about a spoiler alert for the boys now, because you know it's going to come out in a few days, so it's not a huge deal. But like, the story evolves that there's these two guys that are part of like the anti-superhero gang, and they want you to help find out what happened to their friend, who literally has clearly been hit by the car and cartoonishly left like a human shaped hole in the wall, which is amazing. And you find all the clues to figure out what happened to him. And in the end, as you're standing there, one of the people that's part of your group that like has been participating with you and trying to find the clues and stuff, when they're like, you know, fuck superheroes, are you with us or are you against us? This one guy's like, I love superheroes. You know, superheroes are the best. I love, you know, they rule. They're so awesome. And one of the actors straight stabs that dude. Like, and it's such a fucking surprise, because he has been doing the same things that you're doing.
Right.
Like, his acting in that situation is to just act like you. And then he gets fucking shanked right in front of you. And it was crazy, and it was a lot of fun.
What was cool
about the Amazon activation is all the things that were in it were very much so like a build to getting you excited about the shows that are coming out.
Right.
And like, as people were exiting like the Carnival Row and the Expanse and the Boys, you would hear people say, oh, that was so cool, I can't wait to watch the show. And that's like a perfect thing. Like, it's exactly what they did.
On the first day, I remember you saying, man, these people are coming out of these activations excited, like,
and happy.
And so I thought that was a good way of putting it, that they're putting on a show that makes you excited and happy for what's to come or what you're doing around you. I thought that was cool.
Like, we were watching the people come out of Carnival Row, which unfortunately because of timing we were unable to see either of those, but as the people were coming out of Carnival Row, every single person had a giant smile on their face. Like, there wasn't a single person that was like, well, that was lame. Like,
it was cool. I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, we went to the Orville activation, we went to the Bodega one, and they're cool, but it's essentially their stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you went to the Bodega to buy stuff and look at some of the cool things that they have. That's because all they do is toys. You know, there's nothing really more to that. And their shit's cool. I don't have anything against it. I like their stuff.
Yeah,
I think
the Super 7 Bodega was really, really cool.
Yeah, and
they had Universal Monsters garbage pail cards that I got a pack of for my wife.
Yes.
They had really cool like t-shirts,
Halloween candy
toys.
Buckets or some shit.
Yeah, candy buckets, like old school style Halloween masks. Like, they had all sorts of really cool stuff.
If you're in San Diego, they're there. Like, that's a storefront. You should definitely go check them out.
Yeah, Super 7 makes really, really cool stuff. If you're not familiar with them, you should for sure look them up, because all of the kitschy, ridiculous stuff that we like, they make. So
the Orville one was cool, but it was just the stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It was costumes and it was props and things like that. So I've never done any of these outdoor things, and so I wasn't sure what I was going into, and I think I got spoiled by going to the Amazon one first.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, ah, well, You know, everything else is That's cool, but it's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm not super super interested in that stuff. It's cool. Don't get me wrong.
Don't worry, Albie. You'll love it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I love The Orville. That's one of my favorite things. It's a show that I watch the day that it comes out. But it's just I was just more excited about the Amazon. I think that was cool.
Well, it's hard to top. It's really hard to top an exciting acted out effectively escape room. That one dude didn't make it out of.
Right. The other thing as far as the interviews go, El Hijo del Santo was probably one of my other favorite things. Because I didn't grow up with him because I watched a lot of... Because I went to Mexico every year of my life until I was probably 13. And so it was always on everywhere we went. There was wrestling on, but I was not invested in it. I'd just watch it. And it was cool, and it was completely super fucking different than everything I'd watched at home. Because a lot of the times there's no rules, there's just shit going on, people are flying all over the place. It's insane. And so it's even way more different than the lucha stuff you see here in the United States.
Absolutely,
it's so
yeah.
different. And so I knew who he was, and my dad would talk about him, and we'd watch, you know, his movies and stuff like that. And so it's like you're standing in the presence of somebody that doesn't really exist, but you know they're real. And so it's really weird. It's like kind of a mythy, kind of legendy person. And that I've heard about my whole life, and so that's cool to me, and it was really, really different.
He's truly a legendary right. wrestler, and he's not just that, he's an intergenerational wrestler.
Right.
His father made movies and television for years and years and years that, it's just something that was on in the background at my grandparents'
right.
house sometimes, and it was one of those things where you see this guy on TV fighting, you know, space aliens and werewolves and stuff, and then you get to, you know, yes, he's his son, but yes, it's also a continuation of the character, and to be able to see him in the flesh and hear him say things you know, this will go on forever.
Right.
When I retire, there will be another one. And that's
or even just
really
the myth
cool.
or the who he is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that's gonna go away. Oh. There were Hispanics standing in line behind us that were maybe 12 that could not believe that he was in front of their eyes.
Yeah.
That's the only fucking everything else was there could have been nothing. The whole building could have been empty, and that's how they saw the building. It was empty, and Hijo del Santo was in front of him, and that's all they cared about.
There
it
was a dude
insane.
In front of us that was the same way
yeah.
and also dropped $1,500
yeah.
on gear.
Two coats, a professional mask, I think.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was amazing. It was an amazing thing. And then also, not just that, but to also have the chance to interview him on a whim.
Right.
You know, we went to the Nuclear Blast booth to see Pinball and for me to buy a shirt. And you were oh, he's going to be here. We should, you know, come back for the signing. I was you should ask if we can get an interview. And they're oh, yeah, he loves doing stuff
yeah.
like that.
Apparently, super. He was.
He
I mean,
was
not apparently.
Super friendly.
He was really, really nice, but apparently he's that all of his life. So
he asked how we were doing, and we said we were tired from walking, and he patted each of us on the belly to tell us it's okay, you can walk some more. And
it doesn't look like you've been walking.
And in my brain, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'll do better.
I'll see you next year, Hijo del Santo.
In the ring. No, just kidding. He would murder me.
I'd blow up.
Oh, that's awesome. For me, one of the highlights, obviously, was doing the press conference for Ripley's Believe It or Not and getting the chance to interact for 20 minutes, you know, in the same room with Bruce Campbell and a bunch of other people from the press corps. A lot of great questions got to get asked from everybody in it. He's that kind of actor and human that you ask a question and he has a story, you know, I've talked about this several times, you know, over the week, that I love when I am interviewing somebody and I say, here's my question, and you come back at me for 5 or 6 minutes
right.
with an answer, because you have something that you're passionate about and you want to tell me about. And to see that Bruce Campbell, he's not a young dude, like some the picture, one of the pictures that Juan posted of him, he's like kind of has his hand on a water bottle, and it sort of looks like he has his hand on top of a cane, and people are like, oh god, no, he's got a cane now.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't, let's be really clear, that is not breaking news. Bruce Campbell does not have a cane, but like the fact that people would think that, like, is kind of a testament to how long he's been around and how, you know, how much he's done and kind of how he's getting up there in age. But the reality is he still has a massive passion for the business. Oh, yeah. He has a massive passion for what he's doing. He's excited about Ripley's. He's excited about the things he's working on. He's excited about his encounter with the UFO, which you will be able to hear about in a special episode for sure. So look out for that. Ripley's Believe It or Not with Bruce Campbell. But he's also like, he's also like a consummate actor. Like, he's talking about at one point how he couldn't be in police procedurals because they're boring and he hates them and he always wants to do something exciting. But then he showed us the kind of faces that he would make if he could be a juror in like a courtroom drama. And all I could think was, oh, yeah, he would be really good at that because he has that much control just over his face from practicing his crap.
Right.
Like, he's an actor. He's a good actor.
I went, holy shit, like that. Just the movement of his face.
Like,
I was like, whoa.
Like, minor facial movements that make you go, wow, I actually do know what he's thinking, and that's crazy. And then he finished it, and he goes, I would do that, and the editor would thank me. And he would use me every 3 minutes. I thought that was pretty amazing. Oh, man. So what is there anything walking away from this that you were a little disappointed about?
I don't think so. No, I mean, PR shit. It just is what it is.
Yeah, like, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, cancellations or things that come up and we can't do them, or, you know, that's what's happened today. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think maybe I would have enjoyed seeing a little more of the showroom floor, but I got to see a lot of really cool stuff.
Right.
Like, the Transformers booth had, like, the amazing, like, Unicron in it. You know, I got to see some amazing cosplay. We got to see Toho's first appearance at San Diego Comic-Con and interview one of the PR guys from that. We got to do our first two bilingual interviews. I thought that was kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That seemed like this sounds super dorky, but that, like, seems like a huge step in, like, a different direction for us to be able to say, you know, we're going to do this interview, like, with Akio?
Akito.
Akito from Toho. You know, obviously he had a translator with him. And then for Hijo de Santo, we had you as a translator. And that's cool because, like, that's some straight NPR bullshit. Like, where there's, like, a translator and somebody explaining, like, you know, what's being said back and forth. And it's awesome that, like, we live in this time where pop culture transcends, like, everything.
Right.
It transcends age and gender and race and language. And all these things that we love can come from all of these different places. Like, it's really, really fascinating to me.
Yeah, I was nervous for my translation because at the very beginning when we got into questioning, one, I don't really like translating when there's like seven people watching me try and do what I'm doing because it throws me off my I feel like I gotta speak like proper and shit, and it just completely throws me off my game. But then the camera, the Nuclear Blast had a camera that he was just filming the whole thing, which was both awesome and fucking scary all at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's nervous, you know. It's something that I don't do because I'm not good at. I'm not very good at interviewing people. You know, I'm good at, obviously with my job, I'm good at just interacting with people and just speaking, which I guess sometimes that's kind of what it is. I'm just not good at interviewing. And so that in itself is nervous. And then having literally the whole Nuclear Blast just team just watching and listening to what you're saying and then a camera in your face, it was nerve-wracking. It was scary.
And it was really cool, though. Like, it was cool because, like, they felt that what we were doing was just as important as we feel it's right. important. You know, they want to document like this moment where he gets to do this interview, like at their booth at the convention, and it's cool for them. It's cool for us. And it ends up being like this really awesome, like interaction
right.
across the board between effectively three different brands, ours, his, and Nuclear Blast. And that's really, really cool to
me. Yeah, it was fun. I'm excited.
Oh, no, I love that shit. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal.
I don't know. We got a lot of cool... I got a lot of cool swag, I think. The lounge for Legion M was pretty cool. I mean, it was... Again, it was kind of a sit-down thing, and you just kind of meandered through. It was small. The entrance is really their coup de grace for that, and,
right.
which is the set pieces from the quick stop in the actual movie of the reboot that they're making that we own, essentially. We co-own, I guess, is how you would say that. But it was cool. Like, the picture – I just took a little, like, minute video of originally because we went and it wasn't quite open yet, but the set pieces were up. And it's got damn near 100 likes on the Legion M site because I was like, we're too early, but, you know, I wanted to post this. And it's really popular because that's a really – Kevin Smith is a really weird fucking, like, phenomenon in the movie industry. He doesn't make movies generally that are super, super popular aside from his fucking people, but he's still really, really popular somehow. It's so weird.
So what's
I guess it's kind of like Bruce Campbell, but he has had very, very popular stuff as well.
So what's interesting about it, we interviewed a lady from Legion M, which obviously you'll see the video of once we get to a place that has reliable Wi-Fi, you know, that she specifically said it used to be that Stan Lee and Kevin Smith were like the kings of Comic-Con. Like, here's these two icons of like basically comic books and pop culture, and they were like the driving forces that drew the fans together with the creators, right?
Right.
And with Stan Lee's passing, that leaves Kevin Smith as the king of Comic-Con, effectively. Like,
right.
he's this guy that has taken all of the things that, you know, you and I loved when we were kids that maybe we got made fun of for liking, like comic books or movies or cartoons
right.
or whatever, and said, these are legitimate art and these are legitimate forms of expression. And to deny that and to say that they're less than because they're for quote unquote nerds is to like say that an entire segment of people doesn't deserve to love what they love. And that's what's great about it is now we have this massive convention full of every stripe of anything that we could possibly love, and it's all right there. And Kevin Smith has kind of been the arbiter of that for such a long time that, you know, that excitement for just a picture of the front of the Quick Stop is a big deal.
Right, right.
You know?
And so, I mean, we got video of the whole thing, but it's cool. I mean, like I said, Legion M is doing. If you, I preach them a lot. I wear hats. I wear their shit. You know, it's not because we're shilling for them or anything, because we're not. We don't get any kind of paid or anything. We're small potatoes.
Matter of fact,
they don't
you pay.
They don't. Yeah, they don't. They don't care about it. Maybe that they don't. Not that they don't care about us, but I mean, we just. I love it. I love what they're doing. I love that they're bringing things that fans want into existence, you know what I mean, or helping at least, because we all got a shot at you know, giving our opinion on what we should do at the beginning of the Jay and Silent Bob ceremony that we went to and we covered, where they put their hands in for the Grauman's Theater. It was Paul Scanlon talked about how he had put out a thing asking fans for who we would want to work with, and above the likes of Ben Affleck and all the Marvel guys and all of that were Jay and Silent Bob, and which is insane. That's
right.
That's crazy by itself. But the fact that they were like, okay, we hear you, and then they attached themselves to Reboot is cool. You know, it means that while maybe they're not going to listen to every single thing that the fan base says, because that would be ridiculous. We'd probably get some crazy shit out of that.
That's how you get Bodie McBoatface.
It's fun that they're listening and paying attention. You know, we're helping create the Aliens documentary, which is, I think, going to be fucking really cool. I've praised Colossal ever since it came out. I really enjoyed that movie.
Of course, Mandy, fucking phenomenal movie. So absolutely one of my favorite movies that came out.
I'm just excited for this team, you know, whether it comes as just being a shareholder or it comes from covering them at some point or another. You know, it's fun. I think it's really cool. So
right. That's awesome. Well, guys, we have a ton of San Diego Comic-Con coverage coming out on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, on our website, all over the place. So please be sure to check us out at www.totlb.com, T-O-T-L-B.com. I struggled through that one. And go check out our YouTube page, tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. Help us out. Give us a subscribe. We'd love that. And we will have tons of San Diego Comic-Con coverage coming out over the next, already over the last week, and then going into the next few weeks, we should have tons and tons of stuff coming out. So
yeah, and let us know when this episode comes out, or even beforehand, you know, if you were here or if you were watching the news, what was your favorite thing? You know, what did you enjoy coming out of San Diego Comic-Con?
So. Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. Please participate with us and check us out, patreon.com/TOTLB, to give us some support. From San Diego Comic-Con, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
We will see you later this week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.